Yo, 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 welcome to the Bros Who Think podcast. My name is Lennon Burton, a.k.a. Youngboy D-Wiz, a.k.a. the People's Champ, a.k.a. Beard Gang is in the motherfucking building. And this is episode, I believe, 39? I think with this episode 39. I think we're in the 30s because, like, Cootie was 36. And, yeah, this episode 39. So, without further ado, we're here today with Bleach, the band. But more, we're here today with introduce yourselves, members of the band.
I am Bleach.
Yes.
So... That's about it. I'm a rapper in a band, man, I guess. And this is
I'm Nick and I play guitar.
Yeah, I said that pretty weird. I should have been like, I'm here with Bleach in his band.
It's cool, man. So many people are confused, honestly.
No, this is Bleach right here.
No, I am, for 100%. But this has been a long time in the making. Like, I've been knowing Bleach for a while. Like, I want to say since, like, what, 2014? Like,
I want to
say...
Probably earlier than that, honestly, man. I'd say, like, 2011, maybe even 10, honestly. Just because...
Yeah.
Like, through...
Through Mark.
Know, friends, yeah.
Mark. Shout out Marco Diesel. But, yeah, through, like, Fam9, just doing shows. And, like, I met you on the scene. And, like, we've been friends, like, acquaintances ever since. And, like, you've been a supporter of this podcast since day one. And,
dude,
like, I told you.
I love this podcast, man. Like,
thank you.
The first time I actually caught it was whenever y'all were talking about y'all top five that are live. And I remember I was... sitting actually at work just listening to it, because I was like, yo, let me check this out, see what's up. And I actually wanted to join in on the conversation a few times.
That's awesome.
And I was like, yo, hold up, because I might have was agreeing or I might have been disagreeing, but either way.
I know, I remember you sent me like a long message, like, bro, like, I respect, I love what you're doing, but like, this top five shit, we gotta talk about this. Like, we just gotta talk about this. But like, nah, man, you've been a fan since day one, and I told you, I was like, bro, I love your music, and like, you have a spot on my sofa, and we will have a conversation whenever you're ready. And like, unlike some people, like, I'm not gonna name names, but like, you didn't hit me up. Like, you didn't hit me up right away. You were like,
man, we weren't ready, man.
Like, you let it, but like, I think like I grew as well, and like, I think we grew into like to at this point, I think it's perfect. Like, yeah, every interview that I've had, I believe, was meant to be at the time that it was. And like, if it didn't happen at that time, then it wasn't meant to be. But today, this one's meant to be. So I'm excited to have you here.
Before
my co-host is on way doing business. My shout out to my brother Cam. I have him on some assignment right now. He's doing something, but we had to get the Bleach interview in here because like, I wasn't missing it. It had to happen. But without further ado, you know how we do this, ladies and gentlemen. I have to say the key of the week. And I'm going to give that key right now. Sorry about that. You guys have my phone, but that won't happen again. So unprofessional of me. But the key of the week from DJ Khaled. Khaled is a hard worker. He's dedicated and focused. He show came on after hours, and I don't remember exactly what building we were in, but we were on a high floor, and he would come on and start bringing in equipment all by himself, like 1 crate, 2 crate, 3 crate, MPC, turntable. And I just remember thinking, how many trips in the elevator is this man taking? He would do this every time, and the second we'd finish, he'd start setting up his stuff. He was never late, never skipped a beat. I'll never forget me and Dre ended up leaving for Atlanta for some R&B endeavors, and we were gone for a while, and we gave Khaled our 6 to 10 slot, which was prime time, because he used to go on at 10 p.m. to do 1 in the morning. When we came back, everything was DJ Khaled. He made sure he always handled his business, always was on time, hard working. You gotta be a hard worker, because if you're not a hard worker, it will never work. You gotta make sure you understand that in this game, you gotta give it all you got. The key.
Good key, man.
I think that's a good key,
that's
my buddy.
Good key.
Like, you're I just sure. want to start off, what do y'all think that key means to y'all? Just out of curiosity.
I mean, just real quick.
How does it relate
off,
to...
Man, hard work pays off. Like, hustling pays off, man.
How do you relate that to you, Bleach? Like,
man, hard work has always been something I've struggled with. Not that I'm lazy, and I probably said that wrong, but like, when it comes to music, like, I never feel like I work hard enough. Like, I feel like you're kind of just told, I guess you see these interviews of like these people you look up to in the music industry, and they're always talking about how much they're just writing music and on their craft. And like me, just like a normal person who has other things in my life and responsibilities, I don't always get to do that and work on my craft the way I should.
100.
So like, that's just something I'm always going to struggle with. I'll never work hard enough, and it's going to bother me till the day I die.
You know? 100%. I can totally relate to that, because like, I want to say... Okay, I'll tell you the story. So basically, before this podcast started June 29th of 2017. Before that, I want to say in December, I was trying to make a documentary. And then I realized, holy shit, a documentary takes like years to make. Some work, man. So I was like, I need to get my voice out there some way, because music and me, I had a disconnect. I'm not gonna even lie, I had a disconnect with music around December of 2016, the start of 2017. So I was like, I need to get my voice out there some way. So I researched podcasts. I spent until June, like, trial and error. And then, like, by the time that I turned 23, which was June 29th of 2017, I was like, this is my Jordan year, so I gotta give it my all. Like, I gotta give it my all, and that's how this podcast was birthed. So, and then, like, there's days where I'm like, am I working hard enough? Am I doing the right thing? And, like, I have school. Like you said, I have other endeavors. Like, we all have other endeavors. So, yeah, it's like, it's a constant thought. Do you work hard enough? So that key is perfect to, like, just remind you that this hard work pays off. But without further ado, let's get into why we're here, baby. We're here for the music. We're here to talk about you, your art, your craft. We're trying to show the fans who Bleach is as a musician, what he loves, and also show a different side of him so the fans can not only love your music, they can love you. Because I truly believe if the fans love you, you'll always have them, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they love the music, you're here today, gone tomorrow. But if they love you, you'll always have somebody there to support you.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's get started about just in general how you got into rap. And for people that don't know, you have a band. So why do you have a band? Like, what makes you want to have a band in your music?
So I've been in love with rap, man, since like as long as I can remember. Like, just being in the car with my mom, you know, playing like Stan, and then hurrying up and trying to change it because she realized that wasn't necessarily the right song, you know, to be playing.
To be playing, yeah, for sure.
And like, honestly, like, I'm a huge Eminem fan. That doesn't have to go without being said. And like, I always liked rap, and I always liked rock too, because my mom and my dad were both heavily into both of those things. And you know, I was born in 93, 90s baby, around all that time. And
shout out.
And they were young parents too, you know, like, they had me at 18, so you know, they were still partying, you know, I guess. Yeah. And, like, listening to that music, and honestly, I always liked it. But when I saw 8 Mile, it was the first time that I ever, and this was fourth grade, by the way, I was like, yo, I think I could do this. And we actually had a rap battle at school, like, at recess.
That's what's up.
That shit was so lit to me. And then, like, I kind of got way more into rock when I got a little older, just dove into that hard. And then, like, I think it was like, I went through some shit like around the summer before I started ninth grade, and rap was like the only thing that could really like ease me on some of those things. So I got back really big into rap, you know, started obviously rapping like around 2010 publicly, but it was absolutely trash. And for me, the band aspect was always...
Wait, brother, I can't just let you slide. Trash, my guy. Come on. Like,
when you start, but everyone's trash when they first start.
Yeah, no, but like, it was the beginning stage. Like, just say it was like, it was... I relate like this game to like a video game per se. Like, it was level one. Everybody at level one when they start, and they don't have no skill set. So you have to build your skill set. So, because you were never like, I've heard people when they first start and they're garbage. Like, absolutely can't be beat, but like, nah, my nigga, you got like the skills. Like, 100%.
I guess the whole band thing came into play because, like I said, I was always a fan of rock. And I always thought, though, I knew that the band was going to be something, but I didn't think that that would happen until I was already, like, big or famous. Because, like, how the fuck are you going to get people to come play music for you and whatever? And then it kind of just happened, man, where, like, I released, like, my rap album, kind of like you were talking about, like, Jordan here. I kind of was, like, on the verge of quitting. I was like, yo, I'm giving it everything I got on this last mixtape. And then my boys, who just so happened to be, like, crazy good musicians, were like, yo, we want to play for you. And then at first it was really just like taking what I had done and turning it into a rock aspect, but then we eventually grew together and started writing songs together. And my music's like very, very intense sometimes, and I feel like honestly the only way it could ever really be portrayed the right way is with those live rock instruments just going hard.
100%, you know? I fuck with that. I like what you just said. Like, I'm gonna break down everything you said, and then we're gonna move forward after I break it down. But basically, I want to start with, you said that at a moment you were about to give up, and I felt the exact same way. And it's like, it's crazy how the universe works. I don't know, like, how big you're into spirituality. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not gonna have to say it's not necessarily has to be a god. It's just like, let's just say the universe. The universe felt that energy you were sending, like you were almost done, but like it worked out in the end. Because at the end, it might not happen when you want it to happen, but the universe will make it happen that way. And I just thought that was peculiar, because like most people that make it always say that they had that moment where they were gonna quit. Yeah, but they
man,
didn't.
I mean, it's real, man, because, like, people don't really understand sometimes, like, that, and, like, I feel like bands don't get it as much, like, on the rock side of things, because you still got to be, like, to get up on stage and play something, you're talented, it might not be a thing, but whatever, but rappers, dude, people hate on rappers.
Yeah.
Like, very hard, and there was definitely times where, like, I never gave a fuck with nobody thing, don't mistake that, but, like, there was definitely times where I was like, dude, what the fuck am I doing, man? Like, why am I putting myself...
in this position,
this,
yeah.
Know, like, putting myself in a position I don't need to be in, but I, obviously, at the end of the day, like, I'm there, you know, I knew why and the reason why I had to do it.
You know? 100%. If you don't mind me asking, why'd you have to do it?
Honestly, man, like, if you listen to, like, my music, or even if you just, like, know me in person, like, I'm a pretty chill, like, dude, like, I'm a fun going guy, like, laughing and being a clown, but, like, I have, like, a lot of, like, I guess, like, some mental issues and some, a lot of just problems in my life that not even necessarily my fault or anyone's fault, but just, like, a lot of things that happen in maybe my certain brain chemistry that the only way that I could even, like, you
release
know,
it.
Like, get through shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I hate to say it like this, but, like,
but
I really feel like if I didn't write the music, I probably would have done something that would have maybe taken either someone else's life or my life or something of the sort. And I honestly have to thank, you know, that aspect every day. That's why I'm here. If it wouldn't be for that outlet, then I'd be a terrible person, you know?
100%. I appreciate you saying that on this platform, because mental health and mental issues don't get talked about a lot. And I applaud you and I respect you so much for having the courage to say what you just said, because whoever's listening to this, whenever they listen to it, they might have those problems and might
course,
be scared
man,
to like
does,
not
man.
Talk about it. And by hearing you say it, you might have saved someone's life. So I appreciate you saying that.
Thanks, man. And like, I hope that actually is the case. You know, like, some people think that some of the stuff I say is going to actually drive people to do things. But I honestly never looked at it like that, because to me, you know, a lot of artists that I've listened to have saved my life even before I did music. And hearing the things they talked about was always more of a, like, wow, there's just somebody out there. You're not as alone when you can, like, have
when you
someone
can someone talk
to you,
100%. Like, one, I feel that 100%. Now, let's get into the music. Talk about just some of the bandmates, and just, Nick can come in here and just talk about how y'all formed, and just name everybody in the band, and just talk about, basically, yeah, how y'all came together.
So I guess
you want to tell a story?
I mean, well, yeah, because you came in eventually. You got a funny story how he came in, but
okay.
I guess, like, the way it originally started was, so if you're from around here, you know that the rap scene is very struggle, like, it's struggle because
yeah.
No venues want to put on a rap show.
100%.
And that's, you know, a whole bunch of reasons why. I'm not going to say it's just simply because maybe they weren't as good or anything, but it's also maybe sometimes like a professional thing or like showing up late. Anything that rappers just do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just showing up, little
would
whatever.
I got a question. Do you think it has to be, do you think it's like some race issue in the back of the mind?
Yes, it is, because I've had...
Because I know how the rap scene is.
Look, man, I've had... And it might not necessarily be race, like a black and white, but as far as like that whole culture and what it represents
yeah.
and what it comes from, I've had people straight up tell me, I don't want you to play here because I don't have rappers here. I don't like the crowd that y'all bring.
100%. And like, I can even testify that, because when Webby came to Lafayette, my car got broken into. Got smashed, windows,
wow.
shit stolen. Like, I understand.
Well, they don't want to take the risk
yeah.
in their business, you know? And
but at
so
the same time,
that.
It sucks.
It does suck. So what I did was, I was like, yo, well, I'm going to start playing with these rock bands because I was cool with these dudes. And they were like, yo, come on. And the only way I could get a show around here when I first started was if I was on a bill
with some rockers,
with a rock band.
100%.
But it eventually got to a point where I was like, yo, man, this is these guys are bringing some energy and they got a good show and I'm just opening and that's like real kind of like just it's soft, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So my boy Jeb was like, yo, why don't I play drums for you?
Real.
And I was like, all right. He had no idea that I had backing tracks because that's not his world, you know what
real?
I'm saying?
Okay.
So he's like,
he's
wait.
In a rock world.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah. So he's
like,
wait, I'm playing drums. I'm like, it's not gonna work. My boy was sitting right there, Grant Gotro, and I was like, hey, man.
Shout out Grant
yeah,
and Jeb.
Yeah, those boys can't be here right now because they're actually helping our other buddy record some music right now. But
all working, baby. We're
yeah,
just working.
But anyway, basically, Grant was right there, and I was like, are you free? Because
yeah.
we can't just have this drum and vocals thing going on.
100%.
It had just dissolved.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It all worked out timing. Yeah, yeah.
At the right time.
And so we did that, and we literally just did the three-piece, like just straight bass, drums and vocals, and we did it just to kind of like fit. Not, I don't say fit in, but you know, to get on the bill and like.
Yeah, just to like,
you know, okay.
You were trying to beat the system, so you just found a way to get your music out there.
And basically, people just received it. That's the right one. That's the one. Yeah, yeah. They received it like way better than just me doing it. So we were like, yo, people actually like this. Let's keep on. And then I guess I could let you tell his side of it, how he came into it.
Real.
But that's.
Shout out to Trent Turley, because Trent played on the few.
He was my guitar player for a little bit.
That's a guitar player. And
shout out Trent.
Yeah.
One time, the band that I was in for a brief time called Lost Cause played a show with him, and we came together, and not gonna lie, you were too trash to drive home, and I was like, well, why don't you just crash at my house?
Real.
Word, yeah, I thought
and, that. Good friend. Yeah, we don't drive drunk.
Either way, he had to drive drunk either way, but you drove drunk like 5 minutes down the road, and we stayed up till like 6 in the morning.
Just jamming.
Yeah, no, literally just talking about like basically just life, man, like not even talking about music or anything. And then one day he played a show, and I just asked him, I was like, man, I would really like to get on a song with you. Just I just want to play one song with you.
For real.
And I sing in another band that's kind of heavy. So I know he was kind of probably like, what does this dude who sings screamo type shit know about some of that? And I was just like, I just want to get on one song, man.
You just give me a shot. Let me show you what I got.
I was just like, man, I don't even want to play with you. Like, I just want a shot. And something ended up happening where the guy that he had playing guitar with him couldn't make it or something. And
because he had a band too.
Yeah.
Like, he had obligations.
And he just asked me one day. He was like, man, I have a show. Like, I have a show tomorrow night or something. Can you play guitar? And I was like, sure. So, like, I learned the songs like an hour before the set. And I'm still waiting to get kicked out of the band.
It just worked. 100%.
I'm still just waiting to be kicked out because.
So why'd you keep him?
Man, honestly,
because I'm a wag.
honestly, I don't know, man. Honestly, nah. I guess we're not really sure how this band works because everyone comes from a completely different background, but somehow it meshes together. But the reason why I kept him on, man, is because like a lot of people don't know this, but this dude is like the hip hop guru. I promise you, this is the first man I ever met in my whole life who knew more about hip hop than I did.
Oh, so we can have a serious hip hop talk.
It's disgusting.
Oh, honestly. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
I just really liked. Like, I knew that he could contribute to the band because like of where his mind was at, not only with his knowledge of hip hop and rock, but we also just like hit it off and we were on the same page, and I think we kind of wanted to create the same type of sound. Like, we had like the same idea in mind. Absolutely. And then when it started to work, we were like, oh shit, all right, that's cool.
Real. You know what I mean? But that's what's up.
Yeah, it just honestly just came together. Honestly,
best way that shit happens, you know, like when it just happens, you know, like y'all didn't try to force fit it.
Yeah, like, it feels like it's out of your control with that part.
Yeah,
100%.
It's just like this, I mean,
it just happens.
I've never played in a weirder band in my life.
Real. And I know in the rock scene that like multiple people can play in different bands.
Yeah.
How do y'all feel about that? Because I don't come from a rock band.
I like it. I love it.
You have every right to pursue your own creative thing, you know, like as long as it's respectful, I guess, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, as long as you keep it respectful, it's very easy to do. But it's funny how you say that about, I mean, dude, the rock and rap scene is very different. And like sometimes I have to catch my head.
Yeah.
Because I come from that rap side of things can be very, very competitive sometimes.
150%.
Sometimes I say some things that like people don't like, and like it's not. I'm not trying to be an asshole or a dick, but like
that's what it is.
I come from a competitive nature on things, because if you weren't like that, then you were getting made fun of.
Yeah.
And maybe even beat up or something.
100%. Let me ask this question then. So because you come from a rap perspective, but you play in Lafayette in the rock perspective, but it's bigger than Lafayette because we all have aspirations of becoming more. So what do you consider yourself, a rock band, or do you consider yourself a rapper with a band?
I'm a rapper with a rock band. I guess I don't know, man. Like, I'm the same. Like, it's like melded. Like,
it sounds or don't box you in.
We go by grunge rap.
Yeah.
It's never been heard of. It's a whole new genre.
Literally, the hook on the album that's coming out is like talking about don't box me in, because that was something I was struggling with, because a lot of people were like, so dude, are you Bleach? Is the band Bleach? Are you still a rapper? Yes. All that thing. And I was like, dude, like, it's kind of complicated, but it's...
It's not, don't make it more than what it is.
I rap, dude. Like, my rap name was Bleach. I'm literally the living idea of Bleach. They provide the
music. Yeah, yeah.
We're just there.
Basically, like, if you like, they're your producers. Like, if you want to talk about it,
Bleach
in a rap
is a character, man. Yeah. He's a real. He's based off of very real things, but at the end of the day, he has to be a character so that I can not go to jail.
100%. Like, 100%. That's real as fuck. Well, let's talk about, before we... This is the last thing before we get into music. Talk about some of your influences. You said it was Eminem. But let's go into, like, more of, like... Just give me all your influences and just tell me, like, what you love about rap.
Hold on. Let me hear this real quick.
Let's have a rap conversation. Yeah, like,
no, let me...
There's
let me
no way this. I could obviously tell you everybody. I'll like, think of something...
Just give me five.
Yeah, okay. So, my top five, dude...
Oh, like, let's have that top five talk, then.
Well, hold up. But this might not be in order.
It doesn't have to be in order. It doesn't.
Right. So, definitely, like, you know, Eminem, of course. I'm gonna say Redman, dude. People don't know how much I fuck with Redman.
Shout out Redman,
for real. Like, my boy. Kendrick, honestly, fucking love Kendrick.
Killing it.
This one is, honestly, I'm gonna have to give it to Pac and Biggie simultaneously.
Okay, so they hold a spot together. Yeah. I fuck with that.
Maybe even Big L, honestly. Maybe we could get rid of Pac and Biggie and just put Big L right there.
Okay, so Big L.
And then, honestly, this is gonna make a lot of people mad, right. But Zach De La Rocha, to me, is like an MC, seriously. Like, straight up. And I'm not even, like, I've never tried to copy that man's style or his hair, nothing, but, like, I just...
No, that
100%. Like,
that needs to be said.
I fuck with that.
That needs to be said.
I love that, like... Because you said, like, when you heard my top five, and me and Cameron's, like, we had to have a conversation. Like, ours is completely different, but I love that, like, when I hear your top five, all of those sounds together, like, make Bleach who Bleach is.
Yeah,
like,
and I fucked up and didn't even say Andre or Big Boy, dude, so this top five is irrelevant.
Can we talk about Big Pun, though?
Dude, there's too many.
See, yo, can we talk about Big Pun? Because that's my number one. Big Pun is the hardest. Dude,
okay, well, if you're a Big Pun fan, what's the one line that everybody remembers? Can you say it bar for bar? Because I don't want to mess
in the middle of Little Italy. Little did we know that we riddled some men who didn't do diddly. Come on, man. Stop that, man.
We're actually for real. We're actually a real thing.
No, come on, man.
Because I did not want to disrespect it, because I could not do it all. But I knew if you were a fan, yes.
Come on, man.
Let's have this. Okay, so what about Pun? Do you love so much? Because I know what I love about Pun.
Honestly, it's definitely his delivery.
100%.
I really feel like he was just one of the first cats to really get... And this is no disrespect to none of those other cats, because they were obviously on their own other level. But, like, Pun's wordplay is just ridiculous.
100%.
Like, it's just... It's really nasty. It's honestly ridiculous.
I think he is the one of the most underrated lyricists in, like... Hip hop, because when you think of the top lyricists, nobody ever says Pun.
Dude, you see, and I mean, obviously,
and it sucks because I got into, like, Pun, like, recently. Like, I got into Pun, like, cool. In 2017.
Yeah.
So, and, like, I respect Pun so much, and the way that he does melody with his shit.
No,
it's
that's
ill.
What I'm saying.
For
like,
me, and for me, like,
no,
Pun, like,
he's nuts.
This was back when rappers were, like, real, and they might actually, you know, roll up on you and kill you.
Oh, him and Fat Joe did what they said.
What always gets me going, like, on Pun is, like, how the fuck was this man such a gangster and such a businessman and had all this and still found the time to be that nasty on a mic? Like,
no, yeah,
like,
no,
how did
man.
He crap that shit?
I mean, dude, hey, like, shout out to Fat Joe for putting him on, though.
Yo,
dude,
they like, said, like, they were real as fuck.
No,
man.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, like, that's just to me, that's just like the top dog. Obviously, like, shout out Nas and all them for them for, like, they were obviously before Pun, because Pun came out a little later,
yeah, 100%.
But, like, I don't know, man. Just Pun was just on that.
He was a different.
Like, some of the shit he says, I'm just like, I have to, you know when you just have to rewind a tape?
Yeah, you just turn it back. You got to listen to it again.
You just got to rewind it. He's one of the most artists where I literally just had to be like, dude, hold on. Let me catch that
100%. Talking about a top five is always hard, man. It's almost impossible, really, because you almost have to have categories for your top five.
Yeah.
Because would there be an Eminem without Redman? No, there wouldn't. Nope. Would there be anyone without Nas? No, there wouldn't.
No, exactly. So, like, you have to give
a shit. And then Rakim. What about you? Exactly. You go back to...
Dude, no, the 18th Letter is one of the hardest rap albums ever.
You go back to then, like, what for me, big influence, Slick Rick. My mom used to play Slick Rick. Children's,
that's real, bro.
My mom used to play Children's Story in the car all the time.
Man,
like,
no, hey.
That's my shit,
that's
bro.
Just,
like,
that's,
out of all the classic rappers.
That generation is just hot shit, dude.
I made fun, like, my dad. I was talking to my dad the other day, and I was telling him, like, I think the golden era is, like, from 90, like, 5. Like, 95 to, like, 2000 and, like, whenever Wayne was, like, hot. Like,
dude,
Wayne, like, I think
Carter,
that's
the first Carter in the, like, block is hot. Really.
I think that's the golden era. My dad was like, how do you not include the 80s? I was like, Pops, because they rapped, like,
it was,
like,
different, man.
It was like,
it was different.
My boat in the moat. But it's like, they still went hard, but, like, it was a different style rap.
It was like saying pay respect, but, like, at the same time, like, we were just talking about, like, the year 96, especially in hip hop, but obviously in all music. Was honestly just so incredible that it's almost like,
I mean,
it's almost like you want to go back to 96 and, like, live in that time for a day and see what was going on. That was inspiring. This
and just think about
also,
like, all across the board, television, sports, movies. Mm-hmm. Like, Jordan was in his prime at that point. The music was incredible. Some of the movies coming out, like, it was an era that was also incredible.
I have to say, that's when Southern rap though started to kind of
pop,
because
you
know what I mean, like, it was all about New York and California.
Yeah, 100%. That's when you have the masterpiece.
That's when I feel like UGK and the No Limits and all them started coming up, and Outkast started coming up. But, like, I really feel like the hardest rapper out the South, respect to Zero, but I gotta give it to Bun B, dude. Like,
I respect that,
because once again, people are always like,
Pimp C
fan, people are always like, oh, you don't like Pimp C? I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Pimp C is equally as hard.
Yeah.
But to me, Bun B, dude, I'm telling you right now, there would be no cats coming out of the South that hard. Or, dude, actually, before that, the Ghetto Boys.
Yo.
Or even before that.
I respect all of that what y'all are just saying.
But
because
I'm telling you, but just Bun B, to me, was just on that next level of just, yo, this is how Houston is coming. The PA, Port Arthur, this is how we're coming.
I'm proud to be a rapper from
the
South.
You see what I mean?
Like, the South has,
like,
we've
already proven ourselves,
like,
dude.
To me,
like,
my favorite New York rappers, like, to me, it's 50 Cent and Big Pun. Like, those are my two. And then, like, I have some Wu-Tang favorites, but then, like, my favorites are in the South, man. Like, UGK, Outkast, Wayne.
Because we get that. We're from here, dude. Like, 100%. Sometimes you talk to cats and they don't even know what they're talking about.
100%. And then, like, you can't forget about 3-6. You can't forget about Trailer Truth.
8-Ball.
When you could have, like, a day, like, I wouldn't even say a bad day, but when you're, like, literally, when you're literally trying to make...
Screw it, Paul.
I was about to say that. I was about to say, like, man, you throw some screw on, and it's like...
Shout out Jay Prince.
Sometimes, literally, like... It's weird. It's like almost like I might be sitting here looking for, like, a decision in life, and he'll literally blatantly say it right in the song. He'll be like, yo, you dealing with this, then do this. And it's like, oh, no word. Like, no doubt. Screw, like,
100%. I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Nah, man,
but I want to bring it back to some of your influences. What made you love Eminem?
Oh, dude.
Talk about the love for Eminem.
Because
I feel like we can't talk about the music until we talk about your love for Eminem.
Word, man. Well, I'll say this right now. Race doesn't have, in my state, much to do with it. And I only say much because, like, obviously it plays a part. For me...
Well, it's relatable.
Well, I mean, dude, like, for me, like, now there's a lot of white rappers. Most of them trash. But, you know, the thing is, it's like, whenever I was young, dude, like, it was like, you don't even understand that if it wasn't for the fact that this white dude was so fucking good, you couldn't even do it.
Yeah.
And, like, it literally, like... It got to a point where, like, whenever I started first trying to rap, people would even give me a listen and a shot because they were like, yo, you never know, man. Like, a white boy might be cold. But honestly, much deeper than something as, like, shallow as race, like, the way that man's rhyme schemes are and what he's talking about and just that attitude. And
he's one of the best.
And, like, honestly, to me, like, because I guess it relates to me very personally, is his multiple personalities and the way that each one of his albums was a different personality. And even into today where I think his music isn't as raw as it used to be, but he's still utilizing those personalities. And you can hear the difference in the personalities on the track changing. Mm-hmm. For someone like me who struggles with that, like, and like having different, like almost bipolar, different personalities, like mild schizophrenia, like that's as real as it gets for me, man.
100%.
You know, like,
I feel bad that my co-host isn't here today because he needs to, when it's time to talk about the album, I will make sure he's here and y'all will have this conversation because he loves Eminem. Just the passion that I hear that you have for Eminem, y'all need to have that conversation.
Oh, dude, I have his cassettes, his vinyls, his CDs.
Like, y'all really need to have that conversation. And I feel bad that I did that. Like, I feel bad that I'm doing a disservice to this interview. And I'm saying it live. Like, this will come out.
Cool, man.
That, like, Cam needs to have this conversation with you. Like, 100%. For sure, bro. Because I am... The way that I look at Eminem, I think Eminem is one of the best. It's unsaid. It's like... There's a quote from, the like, either 50 Cent or The Game, and it was like... You just don't mess with the white boy. You just don't mess with him.
Yeah, and I mean, like,
because
shit, man,
when you poke that bear, you wake him up, and like, that's somebody that you don't want to mess with because lyrically, you fucking can't fuck with him. You
really
just can't.
Especially at like that time. Like,
yeah.
When that came out at the time, there was just no, the words weren't being put in together that way with that type of like, it's almost like, even like when he sings, man, he's not even singing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's
like
rapping.
But it's like
a aura.
Like, he's going crazy, man. Yeah. Like, he's like, his voice is cracking almost while he's doing it, but it just comes out so beautiful. And like, I don't know, like the things he's talked about. And like, even if he's like the only cat I know who you could have fans as crazy as this, and he'll go. He made a song about how crazy his fans are.
Yeah, that's.
And that's like gotta be like every Eminem fan's like. I'm not gonna say favorite song, but it's gotta be the one that hits you the hardest.
100%. Well, before we get into the music, I have three final questions about just this section.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One of them is, what's your favorite Eminem album?
Dude, that's kind of tough. But I'd have to go with the first Marshall Mathers.
100%. That one.
You and you, like, yeah, man, like that.
It's hard.
No,
that shit
man.
Is hard.
Nah, man, I like. On my grave, dude, like, straight up, like, if it would not be for that album, I would not only would I not be sitting here talking to you, but, like, I would not be alive. That album 100% has saved me from suicide. It has saved me from depression. It has saved me from just more than you can imagine. And, like, I think people really underestimate the power of words, and especially that man's words. And I get it, like, not everyone comes from his type of lifestyle or my type of lifestyle, but if you do come from that, then, like, that's, like, your shining, like, beacon.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, 100%. Okay, so my next question is, as a white rapper, how important is it for you to preserve hip-hop? Because I know you...
Dude, you gotta
come
so hard every single time.
I know you hear the stigma of, like, oh, he's a white rapper, is he being a culture vulture? Can he really rap? And how important is it to you to, like... preserve the culture? How important is it to show that you can actually
live it?
Because
no,
look,
man,
at what you said like majority of the right rappers are trash. I don't agree with that because I like a couple of them, but
yeah, no, I mean, I like a couple of them, but like, obviously, and like I said, like, I'm not even trying to shit talk. I'm just saying, like, for me, because of whenever I grew up and it was like, yo, you don't get to just be a white person and get on this mic.
100.
So like, if you're gonna follow, you can't follow M's legacy. It's too late. He's like,
yeah,
go home, try again. But like, I guess just, I don't know, man. It's like, you have to, like, when I hear, see, my thing is like, when I say a white rapper's trash, I'm more looking at it like, dude, you're speaking for all of us on a platform right now, and you're not, like, that's what you're coming with, man.
100.
Like, you're like, come on, bro. Like, you really have to be the best,
100.
Like, to do that, you know?
I respect you so, so much for which, like, we've been friends before, but I don't think we've ever had this conversation.
No, man, I don't talk about this a lot, you know?
And I respect that so much because when you hear people like Post Malone say that, like, hip-hop doesn't have a song that could, like, speak to your core.
Right.
Or, like, they don't have songs that, like, you can emotionally gravitate to. Mm. You just said hip-hop saves your life. Like, hip-hop is, like, important, and I see the passion that you have for this. You belong in hip-hop. You are hip-hop. Hip-hop doesn't have a color.
Much, thank you.
Like, I'm going to say this right now because, this podcast is for the culture. We're about preserving the culture. We're about making making the culture better than what it was before. Hip hop doesn't have a color. Hip hop doesn't have a race, but hip hop has a soul. And if you feel that soul, you are hip hop. It takes a certain person to feel that hip hop soul, and I can tell from the words that you feel that.
Well, dude,
so I applaud you 100%.
Well, thank you, man. And you know, honestly, like rock goes into that too, because you know, there's a reason rock and rap is so closely intertwined, because it is
they're almost like cousins.
Yeah, they are. And man, rebellious. Like, a lot of people, you know, one last thing on Eminem is like a lot of people don't even realize that he actually kind of was the pioneer in mixing some rock and rap together. Okay. But he did it in a real hip-hop way. Okay. But that's his, like, he grew up on that rock, you know?
Yeah, so, my question is, then what about the Beastie Boys? Because I can't
Well, like,
I can't let you say that he did, like, you know, I know you hear his story.
Can I say this?
But I mean,
the Beastie Boys, he pays respects to the Beastie Boys. Like, when I say pioneer, I mean, like, the Beastie Boys, when you watch them, they were actually playing guitars and shit on stage. They 100%. Were damn near more like a rock band. They were artists.
No, I get what you're saying, but I just had to say.
He brought it to like, first, yeah, man. Like I mean, yeah, you're right.
You're talking about like just straight hip hop, and like
obviously they weren't the sickest.
No, they weren't.
But they definitely paved the way.
Without the Beastie Boys, you don't get Eminem. You're not here.
Flat out, bro.
And I love the Beastie Boys, by the way. Just to say, like, that was no disrespect to
Eminem. Oh
no,
100%. And like even Run DMC added the rock to it too. So like,
dude, my dad had a Run DMC cassette. Oh, the King of Rock cassette.
What? Real?
He used to bump that when he was like building fences, like in the back. Like
when you come back to talk about the album, I want the whole band here because I see it with just you two. Y'all have hip hop soul. Hip hop is like y'all are hip hop.
Yeah, the rest of the band is all rock, man.
But I feel that because that's where you see the melding of the two. That's where you see the vibe, because like y'all are hip hop, but y'all are rock too. So it's like you see the fusion. Basically, y'all are Goten in their trunks, and y'all fuse to make Goten.
Oh shit, that's the best fucking name. We're changing the name right now. Man, you better coin that.
I love my anime, bro. Dude, I love my anime.
Dude, I'm a huge anime fan.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll definitely get there. Last question, but now we're getting into the music. Last question. What did you feel about Eminem's new album? And be honest, I want to know.
Fuck, I knew. I should have said, I don't want to talk about this.
No,
I'll be real with you. I am the biggest fan. Like, I support everything on this particular album. I'll say that the only song that actually did anything for me was Framed.
Okay.
I think he goes fucking hard in that song. I feel like for somebody who, even though he used like pop as a parody, you know, in his music the whole time, but someone so against pop singers and everything, it's like he got every pop singer he could find that was hot right now. And like, honestly, I didn't fuck with that aspect. And look, man, maybe 5 years from now, we'll be like, wow, that album was like ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, this was actually the first Eminem album I've ever listened to in my whole life that I didn't like.
Real.
I loved Relapse. I would put Relapse up there, honestly.
That's why I need Cameron here, because he loves Relapse as well.
I love Relapse, man. And like Framed felt like Relapse, but like even like though what he was talking about from someone who's followed his career, like it was that aspect, like always, was genius, and how he could take everything he's ever done in his career and then build it up to this point and talk about it. I just wasn't feeling the music behind it. You know what I mean?
I know, 100%.
Like, there's some lyrics that I listen to on there, and I'm like, man, if you would have had that over something else, like, this would have been sick. You know?
Because like I said, I'm not the biggest Eminem fan, but I like Eminem albums. Like, there's Eminem albums that I definitely fuck with, and I wanted. Because when Jay-Z dropped 444, he stayed true to Jay-Z.
Loved that album. Yes. A lot of people were hating on it.
I love that album as well.
I bought it from Target.
To me, I felt like Jay-Z like brought an album that sounded 2017, but he was still Jay-Z and he stayed true to hip-hop. I wish Eminem would have did a Detroit hip-hop, like, just stayed true to hip-hop, but talking about his life now. Just Eminem being a 40-year-old, about, like, his life now.
I think he's done with it, man, but he just loves the actual craft so much that, like, he was just like, yo, I'm bringing you some raps, and, like, they were just like, put them over, whatever's gonna sell.
Yeah.
You know, just so that, you know, whatever. And, like, that's what's up. I don't feel like he's necessarily a sellout because he's still coming hard with his lyrics, but I don't know, man. I just didn't feel the direction that he was going, and I feel like he could have really done something back to that Slim
but chain, at the same you know? Time I respect the message that he gave because we needed a white person to say what he said at the time that it right. happened.
And not even just on the political stuff, but even him talking about, like, you know, just being like he doesn't have that rage anymore. And yeah. I think he's starting to regret some things that he did. Said back yeah. in the day. And also one thing that struck me on this album that I didn't like, because that's not Eminem to me, because he don't give a fuck, but he talks a lot about how people's opinions of his music affected him.
Yeah.
And I think that just has to go to show you, like, in, like, he's this new human. Age yeah. that we live in, where, like, you know, used to, like, yeah, they got critics who write blogs, but those people are, that's actually their job, they're writing blogs, yeah. whether bad or not. Now, anyone can get on and say, yeah. and I think the dude was sitting back and just reading.
Reading comments.
And reading comments, and literally forgot who the fuck he was.
Yeah, man.
And
the only thing with me is, I agree with that, with everything you just said. The only thing about just the political thing, I know the message was sincere. It's just, with Paul going to Def Jam and becoming the president, I don't know who was in charge of the marketing. Mm. The marketing felt disingenuous.
Yeah,
it was because, like, why would you let Eminem say he wanted a Trump to respond to him? That's the only thing to me. It's like, the Eminem I know at his core wouldn't have wanted that, and the person whoever let Eminem say that shouldn't have done that.
Well, you know,
because the message was real.
That's not the first time Eminem has been political. People don't really consider him a political rapper, but I mean, White America, Mosh, yep. those are songs that
when George Bush was president, like,
but
he
also listen to those songs, man. He was way more passionate. He was way more. He believes. I think I'm not saying he doesn't believe in the message he was given now, but I think he wasn't sure of himself. He wasn't sure how he responded, man.
I applaud the message because it needed to be said, because at the time there was not many white people speaking out publicly.
No, and that's where he's a real one for that.
Yeah, and I applaud him.
Like, I'm taking my hip hop voice, and you know, Eminem has a lot of you know, African American people behind him.
Yeah, he does. Like,
I've talked to a lot of Royce, black people, like with no shame, be like, Eminem's my favorite rapper.
Yes, like,
so. You know, I felt like he kind of did a service.
Yeah,
to people.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like, when Eminem did that, it touched me, and I was like, that's him. Like, respect him. Like, the culture gave you a lot, and you're giving back to it, because at some point, like, it can't just be black people saying that, like, they need rights.
Yeah.
Like, at some point it has to be, because that's why we were able to push the needle and get voting rights. That's why the civil rights movement was able to happen. Yes, we had Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, but we had white people at the same token preaching to help us at the same token.
Yeah,
so I think Eminem saying that was, I applaud him and I loved it. You can see that hip-hop soul's still there.
And, like, that's good, man, because, like, you know, like, that politics is such a sketchy thing.
Yeah,
man.
It really
at
is.
At least someone on his, yeah, man, because you could be the most non-racist person
social
ever, but you
media,
slip, you
dude,
say one thing
media.
That just partake yeah. taken
ruin,
out of context.
Ruin
but
shit,
but no, man, good for him at least for. I mean, who knows, man? He might have that album might have been trash because he might have been like, I really only got one reason to come out, put an album out, and that was to get that
message out, yeah.
Message. So you know what? Who knows, man?
Who knows? But yeah.
Well, I feel what you said, like, 5 years later.
That might make
no, but what you said about Eminem, that, like, that's real.
On that and
like, I didn't, but I didn't even like the Out of My Head song, because, like, I thought that Cranberry sample was so, like, generic and, like, could have been used. But then look, she dies, like,
you're right,
a couple weeks later, and all of a sudden that song becomes
something different.
Yeah. So, and not that there's no way he could have done that on purpose, but that's the power that Eminem has on this world, dude. It just happens like that.
And that's why I'm glad we had this conversation, because now we can get into music, because I think we had to know who Bleach was. Before the meet, we had to know what made
behind the music.
Like, we had to know what drew you into the love of music. I had to get that out of you, and I'm glad I did. So let's get into the songs, because I think hearing that, it'll make people understand the songs, and they'll go listen to them and they'll hear it a different way. So I want to start off with, like, the first mixtape I heard you with. So let's talk about just intro song number one. It Came From The Cold. Just talk about that, and just talk about the first mixtape, what got you into that zone.
Yo, so basically, that whole album, it's a concept album.
My bad, I shouldn't call it mixtape, because I didn't know.
Well,
like,
no, it's not an album, man, because, like...
But if you consider it a concept
album,
then, yeah.
It's
an album, man.
It's the work
it's
of
an album, yeah,
it's
no,
a
like,
shit,
if you
man.
Call it an album, I'm gonna respect it, call it an album. I just had somebody, when I called somebody's project an album last time, they said it was a mixtape, and, like,
yeah,
I just want to do right.
Well, it's a mixtape because of, you know, production on it, like, you know... I consider what we're doing right now like our first legitimate album.
But just the work you put into it, you felt like it was album
work. Well, there's some songs from that mixtape that made it to this album.
Really?
Because I felt like I felt like the way we recreated it with the bands was 100%. Actually, this is still Bleach.
Man. It needs but to be like, out. Yeah, it needs to be out. That word. It
needs to be heard that way. But honestly, man, that whole tape was basically the whole Injured Cold thing, man. Is like, it's gonna sound crazy because I don't even know how I came up with this, but so there was like this whole like, I was watching like a Netflix documentary on some aliens and shit one time, and they have this little story, you could look it up, where basically this dude was driving back, and like this dude came down, and like there was this weird man blocking the path, and like he walked up to him and basically said, "Hey, I'm not from this planet, but I'm here to deliver you the message."
Real.
And then like the dude like dipped out, and then the guy ended up, you know, almost getting thrown into mental things and government, because he was like, "Yo, there was this being with the disguise of a human
that came down,
Injured Cold, and told me that some shit was about to happen." So like the whole like it came from the cold was like a play off of the whole alien thing, like, you know,
about
came,
you giving you know,
like the 1960s, like it came from out of space, but it was also like it came from the cold, was like the cold in my heart and like all the pain that I felt, and like what you're hearing is Bleach. It's like that's where it came from.
100%. Respect, bro. Like, that's real. Like, that's a true concept album. And I don't think we see that a lot in rap. And that I appreciate that so much. That, like, the concept of your album is like this: I'm coming to deliver this message to you guys. I'm an alien coming to Earth to deliver this message. That's awesome, man. Fuck with that. So let's get into I want to get into one of the songs, because I know it's your past work. We want to talk about the stuff now, but I think we have to talk about the past stuff to set up now. So one of the songs that I really, really fuck with, and I know you know I'm going here, Angel Grove. Talk about just like, dude, what made you get that? What made you create that song? I think that's one of your best songs to this date. And I'm not saying that because of
Mark.
I'm not saying that because of Mark. I'm saying that because of your lyrics as well.
So that song, like the reason why there's like the slashes after it and then the slashes before our movies actually comes first, I believe. Whatever the slashes are, that song, Movies, and Angel Grove are very connected because they're both from, if you listen to it, they're from like different perspectives, like different people in that car.
Okay.
And basically, like the whole thing on Angel Grove was, you know, Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Called Angel Grove. Yeah. I just felt like this was like Angel Grove because it's the nice little town. It's Lafayette, but they got some bad shit that comes
going down. Yeah.
And there was actually the whole inspiration behind that song, believe it or not, like riding through the city, all that shit was, they just like had like a dead body pop up at Target.
I remember that.
And like, obviously, for some reason, Target's like a hot spot for that type of activity.
Bro, like some wild shit goes down at Target.
At the time, man, I really just wanted to spit and just be like, yo, like, I'm just hoping that I'm not a Target, just riding around here, 100. You know, blowing down, doing my thing. And then the way that beat changed into Mark coming in on it created like just like you got both of those worlds, man.
You know? Got like, I think y'all bridged to like show two different sides of quote unquote Angel Grove, which was Lafayette.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like if it wouldn't have been for like the diversity in that verse and the beat change, like I feel like that song wouldn't have been delivered as much. But yeah, man, you know, obviously as an artist, I'm always very critical like of my shit, but that is a song that a lot of people come up to me and give me props on, and so props to Mark for doing that, and the way it just happened is awesome.
Bro, I think it's as much Mark as much you, because when I went back, like
Jason,
like I said,
David Frank line kind of
bro, that shit was hard. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, hard, bro. Right? Like when you say, when you said it was Angel Grove, like it just sparked in my head, because how many times I listened to that song and I'm just like, whoa, power, man. Like I just like everything connected, because I listened to that song specifically today, and I texted Mark and I was like, bro, I'm gonna talk about this on the podcast, because like, yo, you two ate on that motherfucking song, and y'all don't get y'all's props for that song. That song's hard as fuck. Like I told him, not just him, you as well, my brother. You ate as well.
Thank you so much, man. I thought like the thing I was most happy about that song was I was really worried about how my style mixing up with Mark's would have came out, but it came out great. Like, it wasn't corny or anything like that.
No, it meshed perfectly.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
So the next song I want to talk about is, before I ask you, like, because I'm gonna keep it brief on this section, like I want to get to the new stuff. Area 5th and 1.
Yeah, man. Like, once again, following the alien theme, and that's basically I'm in an area with a fifth of vodka or something, and I've got one doobie rolled up.
Real.
And that song, yeah, man. I have my boy JR on there. He's actually. And he's still a rapper, man. He's been working on some stuff.
Shout
for
out
a long time. Yeah, man. Like, I guess he's in a hiatus, but man, that honestly, that dude is one of the coldest rappers out of Lafayette. And if you were really truly on the hip hop scene, you know about him. And
that shit went hard. That's why I had to ask you about
man,
this.
Yeah, man.
Nah,
dude. Like, that dude, honestly, I would not be as good of a rapper I am today if it wouldn't have been for meeting him, because we pushed each other to like
competition.
Excel. Yeah, man. And that whole song is basically the same thing. Like, you know, like it comes right off of Angel Grove. You know,
yeah.
And, like, even the transition I purposely made the transition the way Mark Shit ends on that to go right into that next track of just like when it comes on, like slipping in and out. Like, 100%. You know, yeah, like I really put way more thought into this.
No, you definitely think, you know, it's a real concept album, man. Like you give chapters by chapters because that's the next question. Like
prelude chapters, all that. And then you have a story,
and you have epilogues for each story. So talk about that. Like, just talk about what made you decide to go chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, and talk about how each epilogue plays into each story.
I guess it's like all like a chapter of like either my life or someone I was really close to and involved with. And like I said, Bleach is always a character, but like it is pulled from, you know, obviously because there's no way I could talk about some of the things I talk about in the way I talk about them unless I wasn't
unless you experienced it.
And like just the whole chapters, man, was the chapters is honestly the least impressive part about that whole album because like I was building up to something that I guess I never really reached, you know? So I was trying to tell the story, but I wasn't really sure how the story in it, so I ended up deciding just to do like the whole "it's dark here, I like it," so we gonna chill with how dark it is and how bad things are, and whenever you might get like an answer to what happens on like another album. To be honest,
100%. I think, and I think later down the line, I think you'll find that hopefully, voice because this album, I think, was ahead of its time, really. Because
thank you, man,
in Lafayette, you don't see many concept albums. No, honestly, man, you can count them on your hand. And I think, the way that you told it was impeccable, and I can see that you have a mind for storytelling, for script writing, and for movies eventually.
For sure, man. And like obviously, like everything like that I do, it's like when it comes to music especially, like I said, like I'm a big anime fan, man. Like I'm
100.
Like everything, like,
oh, we're gonna get there.
Well, even like going back, like, you know, like I said, like I hate to keep bringing it in, but like even the way he's told a story with his life over his music career, like that's kind of like the same thing, because I feel like there's nothing realer than like what's going on. And sometimes people be like, yo, where's the new music, and I'm like, it hasn't happened
yet. Yeah, like you gotta live
it. Hasn't happened
it
in my life yet to talk about it, you know.
Yo, like that. And honestly, when I told you I went through a lull in December with music, it was like I'm not writing anything new. It's like I have to experience life, and like I respect that. You, if it's not there, you're not gonna force it.
Yeah, man.
Because that's how you make genuine music. Right. And oh man, I'm loving everything I'm hearing. So let's get to like to where we're at now. I want to talk about just a couple of these, the couple little, I guess I want to not say throwaway songs, but just a couple singles that you had before to the point to where we're at now. So No Shelter Here by Bleach. Talk about that song and just
how that song came about. Like, man, that honestly, and that song was actually going to make it to the new album.
Okay, perfect.
In a rock version. But like when I wrote that, I was just like, so it's funny that we off of South College right now. Like I mentioned South College,
you told
that
me,
song.
Yeah.
You know, but that was really like, I guess that was like the point in my life where I really realized that like, wow, like I'm actually might be able to do this and I'm actually getting respect. And it was like, I also felt really weird at the time because it was all of a sudden I was having like people who, I've always been a quiet person, I've always been to myself, unless you're my friend, you know, but it was like all of a sudden these people, like, because I wrote that Injured Cold shit and like I was so like, I wrote that out of like loneliness and like there was no one around, and all of a sudden people heard the tape and I started, more people were curious about me. So that was like the whole like, you wasn't with me back then, like you're not gonna be here now, because like it's like I'm not doing this alone. Obviously I got people with me, like my band, my, you know, supporters, family.
But you didn't get it back then, so like,
but that's the thing, like those are people that who understood it back then and who were with me and believed in me since like day one. Like I still have day one people with me, and I just felt like at that point I was starting to kind of make some noise. You know, especially my live performance was, you know, getting better, and people started talking about Bleach, man. And I just felt like, you know, you didn't really have the right to say some of the things that they were saying.
Same about you, know? Yeah. Because like now you want to come get me on shows. Now you want to fuck with
like,
the
talked about like how I was like trying to sell drugs, but it was like another plan. Got my mouth polished, and it was like I literally chose not to live this type of life because I'm gonna do this, and then all of a sudden, like I don't know, it was just more attention than I guess I wanted. And I'm not, obviously, I'm not trying to sound like I'm big or anything, because I'm really not. But you know,
you're just telling the truth.
Yeah, going from having like three friends to everyone's always trying to talk to you, and you're like literally a ghost, to go to like having people always just want to come up and talk to you, even if they're just trying to be your friend. Like it's just different for me, man.
100. You know? How important is it to like know the difference between who was real to you and showed you real love and fake love? Because I feel like in the age of social media, everybody's living behind this screen and everybody's like having this persona, but they're not how they are in real life. And like they're trying to show this fake love, but then like when it comes to real life issues, Nobody behind that screen is there.
How I handle that, man, is I don't fuck with anybody unless they've got passion and ambition and actually doing something with their life. Because my thing is, like, if you're succeeding in your own, like, whatever it is you're doing, but you're doing well, then I'm never worried about you trying to
fuck with me, yeah.
Or, like, see me, want to see me fail. Because, like, you're happy or you're, like, doing your thing.
100%.
It's like the people who really don't. And, like, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying, like, oh, if you ain't got nothing going for you, I can't fuck with you. I'm saying, like, if you're one of those people who just isn't trying to do anything with your life, but you just want to hang around, that's kind of weird for me. You know?
No, I feel that because, like, it's, like, okay, so the way I feel about this whole situation is it's, like, vibes come off from everybody. I'm sorry. I've gotten big into this vibe thing recently. Yeah, and, like, cool. when you aren't, like, ambitious and you're just, like, doing your own thing and you're just at a neutral stance, your vibes are at, like, neutral. They can go up, but they can also be down. And you don't need that negative energy around you. It's, especially when you're trying to go up, you only need positive, ambitious people that aren't trying to bring you down. Because at the end of the day, those people who aren't doing anything, if you make it, they're going to always say, well, can I get this? I've always been here since day one. And it's like,
not just a mooching thing, man. It also just, like, you know, if I feel awkward, like if I'm talking to someone and, like, he's just like, yeah, man, how's your music? You doing this, doing good for you. I want it to be like, yeah, good, my music's good. What's going on with you, man? Like, you know, like, I really want to see you succeed. Like, if you're my friend,
that's the thing.
I really,
like,
want to see you succeed,
and
man.
And I think, like, when people hear that, they shouldn't hear, like, oh, this is no. They should hear that you're a person who loves their friends, who you love them so much that you want to see them succeed, and that if they don't succeed, it hurts you so much that you just don't want to be around them. And I think that says a lot about your character, and you can hear it in the music.
Like I said, man, like, you know, I definitely, by some chance I do make it, I don't want my boys who have been there from day one not to fuck with me anymore because they didn't make it in their life, so they feel like I'm some type of Hollywood
shitty person
asshole
that you changed
or something
up.
Now, yeah, man, nah, like, everyone that fucks with me contributes, whether it's inspirational or in some type of way.
They all doing, like, Bleach is a team, and we're all doing something for us to make it. No one person's not doing something.
Even people who don't actually make the music, I promise you, like, I have friends who don't even rap or play any type of instrument, but the things in their stories and things that they say, like, I feed off of and create things.
And I think that's awesome because, excuse me, not one person, you can't make it in this world alone. And I think the best things succeed when it's a team. Like, yes, look at NWA. When NWA was on one together and they were vibing and they were doing it with love, they were the biggest fucking thing out there. And then when they fell out of that lull, they broke up. And then you see Dre, when he didn't have a full team behind him and no love, the music didn't feel the same. It didn't feel the same. And then you see Dre get with Snoop, and then he has a team again, and then the Chronic happens. You see, it takes love and everything to make a something,
some
shit real.
It also takes hate, though, and pain, though, man.
Yeah, it does.
Cube, look at Cube.
Definitely.
100%.
You know, look at Cube. Cube came out hard. Yeah.
That's what the thing. Like, you gotta have, it's a balance, because you gotta have that team and that love, but y'all gotta experience real things, real emotions.
Sometimes you gotta just say fuck it.
Yep. And sometimes you gotta do it yourself. No,
I mean, I'd be totally lying.
Sometimes you gotta just say fuck it, man, and do you.
And do you, like, 100%, because at the end of the day, only you know what's best for you.
No, dude. 100%. I literally go to bed every night saying, dude, did I do me? At the end of the day, I love all of y'all.
But
at the end of the day, I gotta do what's best for
you. No, 100%.
I'd be totally lying, though, like, if I said that, like, there weren't certain people who might have said something to me negative about my music that I don't, like, every night I go to sleep, don't picture crushing you in my palm.
Like, 100%. That's that drive, bro.
You make me want to go so fucking
hard. Yeah, haters, bro. Like, my mom always told me this when I was young. They were like, do not let a hater get you down, because the haters are the motivators. Think about what those motherfuckers say and just eat that shit, because when they see you succeed, they're gonna be the fucking ones who are sick to their stomachs. I love this conversation. All right, let's get to Yard Sale. Dude, is Yard Sale making the album?
Yard Sale will not make the album, but
it's gonna be in the live set.
Honestly, I'll say it straight up, Yard Sale is my favorite song I've ever made, even as of today. Like, well, I mean, obviously, I feel a certain type of way about some of the, you know, the
new stuff
that we created. But at the same time, I feel like for me, I reached what I wanted to achieve as a rapper with that song. Like, that to me was like what when I first came up with Bleach and who I thought Bleach was. Like, that was it for me, man. And the funny thing is, I recorded that my boy Trent Turnley in his bedroom.
Real.
Just proving to me more that, like, you know, like, because we did this album in a nice studio. You know, we want it sounding good for debut.
Yeah, you
want
to have that quality.
That raw shit, dude, because, like, some shit happened, and I literally, like, 3 days later wrote and released that song.
Real.
And it doesn't get more current than that.
No,
going back
100%.
To what people were saying about where's the new music, and I was like, nothing happened yet. It was like, all right. And, like, my whole thing is, like, I always try to be very honest in my music, so, like, I never want you walking up talking to me about shit going on in my life. It's like, you go listen to my music.
Seriously. Yeah,
it's there because I don't really have anything else to say about it. But yeah, man, I really do fuck with that song. Honestly,
if you don't mind me asking, why is it so important to you?
What's that?
The process of getting your art out and just.
Because to me, it was like, man, like, that's a hard thing. I guess, like, my biggest thing is just like how quick. Like, it was like, yo, like, I literally had some shit on my chest. I wrote it, called my boy, and it was done. And not only was it done that quick, but, like, you gotta think, like, some of these songs that I've released, I've spent so much time on.
Yeah.
And to have one that just came out sounding like that, and so just not give a fuck, like, just straight
it was just real
top.
Emotion.
Yeah, it was real, and it was current too. You know?
Yeah,
and,
like, no,
that's what's up.
No, I can attest. It was real.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to get into none of that.
No,
know,
we're, like, no, we're not talking about that.
You know, like
just
said,
the amount, just of how fast you got it, just how fast you got that shit off your chest, it just meant something to you that, like, you accomplished that feat.
Right, and I feel like I knew Bleach better too. So, like, when I wrote that song, I, like, knew exactly who I was, who Bleach was.
Real.
And, like, it also made me feel good that I had been, I thought for a little bit, I was like, maybe I'm losing my hip hop edge doing all this rock shit, but it was nice to just hop back on, like,
and
a
just
beat
rap some
and
shit.
Just rap.
Real.
You know?
All right, well, now that we've gotten off of those songs, let's get into the two singles. I want to talk about Drown. Drown was the first one that I listened to out of these two. What was the process going through your mind when you were writing Drown? I know you talk about depression in that song, going back
right.
to mental illness.
So the whole idea behind that song was actually me and my boy Phil. This was, like, a couple years ago. We was just actually hanging out, drinking a couple 40s, and being like, we ain't doing shit with our lives right now. And that's where the whole, like, I'm sipping on this 40.
Yeah.
Like, that's where that shit kind of came from. And it was like, maybe I'll just blow tomorrow, but I know that's not how that goes. Like, that was the whole struggle with, like I should be
doing my
working
shit.
Hard,
yeah.
Major key, you know,
yeah.
But instead,
back to the
instead
keys.
I'm over here getting fucked up. And that's kind of where, like, that whole idea came from. But it's a personal song, man, you know. Like, just, like, the whole, like, thought about fixing things with my father line, you know, shit like that.
100%.
Drug addiction and alcohol abuse plays an extremely large role in my family. And, like, you ever heard of, like, drug addict trait? Like, I'm not sure how much I believe in it, but it's, like, a good example of, like, how, you know, I feel in my own body how they became what they are and how they went down that road. So it's, like, a constant struggle with me of fighting that addiction.
Yeah.
And that, you know, whatever. And I still party. And I'm fucked up right now. Don't get it wrong, but, like, it's definitely like a.
You gotta know you got no limits.
Yeah, it's definitely like a functioning. I guess, like, you know, I'm scared of it, man, because, like, I don't want to wake up one day and be in their shoes because I've seen it firsthand.
100%. You know? Then I just from hearing that, how big is just the idea of just mental health addiction and all of that? How big is that when it relates to just how the country perceives it?
Yeah,
and,
man.
And how much do you want that to change? Because after I hear this answer, I'm gonna tell you something that we have planned, bros who think, and I would love if you would help in it. But
what,
I just want to get your answer first.
Look, man, like, you know, it's a confusing time. Like, when you look around, man, everybody's depressed and everybody's struggling. And I'm not talking about the people who are all up on Facebook.
Yeah, no, you're talking about real life shit.
I'm not even talking about, like, the whole new wave of cats who are like, well, I never robbed nobody or sold drugs, so I gotta talk about depression. I don't fuck with that. Like, my thing is, like, if you really, really go through this shit, then you don't give a fuck enough to even type
talk about
in a
that,
fucking
yeah.
Facebook message. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, mental health is, like, I didn't even realize, like, that mental health was, like, a real deal until, like, I was sitting face to face with someone who was, like, giving me some news, you know?
Real.
And you don't even realize, like, how big of a part it plays. And, like, my whole thing is, I feel like the reason why everyone is so fucked up right now, like, there has to be a common denominator. Obviously, I haven't figured it out. I don't think anybody's figured it out. But, like, we should definitely try to get to the bottom
yeah,
of it.
100%.
And I'm not trying to sit here, like, you know, be like, oh, yeah, if you're depressed or whatever, listen to my music. It's really not like that, man. Like, that's just what I feel like I can talk about because it's what I...
What you know,
what
you experience.
Man,
yeah.
You know?
And like I said earlier, I think that people who listen to this and who go through this, when they listen to your music, I think they will find...
I've had some really touching things sent to me or, you know, weirdly voicemails recorded. Like, don't know how they got my number or anything like that. But like,
that's what's up.
I've had some really touching shit said to me, which is honestly a big factor when I feel like quitting or giving up.
That
like,
should make like you want to continue.
It's
man.
A bigger, pr- yeah. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, man, you know, maybe it's not just about me, you know, 100%. Even though this is a selfish lifestyle that we live, because there's no way you can possibly be a successful artist without being selfish. There's just and no way.
I feel like that's your purpose, man. Like, honestly, you like your purpose is to give this music and to help people. At the end of the day, it, honestly, I see you helping people, and that's awesome.
Thank you, man. And I hope as soon as I'm not doing that I stop.
100%.
You know?
100%. And like I said earlier, what I want to get your help on is we're going to do a town hall series. I'm announcing it now, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing a town hall series where we're going to get... We're going to get people to come in, the full Bros Who Think staff, and then we're going to get people that we select to come in just to ask questions, and we're going to have a doctor, a psychiatrist, or a whichever the MD term is.
Right.
And we're going to get them in there to answer our questions, and we're just going to talk about mental health and depression and anxiety.
That's crazy,
and
man.
If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to come in on the conversation if you want to be there, but if you have any questions, you can give them, and I'd love to have your participation.
Dude,
because
I'd be so honored to be there, man. I'm so terrified of psychiatrists.
Because, like, no,
y'all need to sponsor the fuck up.
No, we're really going to do it, and we're going to...
You can help a lot.
That's going to be our first town hall.
Like, for real.
I don't know if we're going to film it or if we're going to just make it audio, but it's going to be our first town hall.
And
we're going to have people send in questions, and I'm announcing it now, so be ready. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to get the psychiatrist. No, I will.
Good on y'all for doing that, man.
After hearing you talk and seeing how passionate you are about it, I felt that it's only right, and I'd be honored to have you, because you having the courage to say what you said on this mic... That's amazing that you're willing to share your story to help people. And I feel it's only right that somebody who actually knows what it is there to ask this woman questions. Definitely. So you got to be there. So 100%.
I appreciate that, man. Like I said, I'm afraid of psychiatrists because, you know, when I was talking to one, you know, after like my third session, I was like, dude, if I don't get the fuck out of here, they're going to put me in a fucking... I'm going to lose my freedom over this shit.
But the thing
saying?
Is, the goal of this whole conversation is to answer that question you said. Yeah. Is to find out what can we do to help people, and what can we do to fix this problem? So we're going to get a bunch of questions submitted. My co-host Cam is running that. He's going to be running that with our female podcast called Take the L. It's going to be the entire staff, and we're going to have certain people come in to talk, but I'd love it if you could be there. So 100%.
Yeah, you gotta be honored, dude. We'll do that, man. It's going to be sick.
100%. Well, let's get into the next question. I wanted the last question about music, and then we're going to talk about the upcoming album, and then we're going to get into some of your likes.
Word.
Obviously, the last song is Shovel. So just talk about your mentality with that song, how that song came about.
Man, I just have like a real lately personal connections to shovels, man. I don't know why. Like, straight up, man. Like, I mean, like, even to like this point, you know, I don't know, like.
Oh, you got a tattoo of
it
on you.
Yeah, man, I got it on my knuckles, man, just to make sure I never have a job, I guess. No, I'm just joking, but.
No, bro. Wait. Stop. Pause. I work as hard as I do, so at the end of the day, I don't have to have a 9-to-5 doing physical manual labor.
Yeah.
So I understand that what you just said 100%.
And it's not really about that, because like, my tattoos really mean a lot to me. The few that I do have, but like my whole things with shovels, man, is like there's like one line, I guess, to like sum it all up. If you listen to that song, it's all about people not realizing until it's too late. Like whether it's you're living this 9-to-5 slave job and like you don't realize too late, or like 100. You think you're talking to your boy, you know, he's selling weed to you, buying a gun from him, then he fucks you over, it's too late. You never realize that someone's got some real problems until it's too late. You never realize that someone's a good rapper
until it's too late.
There's like one line in there was like, blisters from the shovel trying to fill this hole.
Real.
And that's kind of what resonated the most with me, you know.
100%. That song to me is my favorite song that you've made.
Thanks, man. That's the most original song I've ever made. That's the first song me and the band ever really put together. There was like one other, but like for me, like that was like the first one that we were like, this is what
I felt
we're
like
doing,
everything,
man,
was on all cylinders. I felt like it was mixed well. I thought the band, the way the production they did was well. I thought your lyrics were on point. I thought the story, I think everything just meshed, and it was like Voltron forming.
Dude.
And like it just worked perfect.
Shit, yeah, man. That's
what's
up.
Did you hear what he said? He said he sounded like it was mixed well. So
Shout out to J Ro.
So,
shout out to Paul.
So J Ro can suck it because he said he didn't think it was
okay.
Good.
So he's talking about.
I didn't mean to do that.
So what he's talking about was like, we've been getting this. This song's been getting some radio time.
Really?
Believe it or not.
It's and, good. It deserves it.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, just like local stew here, and then like on a New Orleans station. Shut ironically, up. Both rock stations.
But hey, fuck it, bro. Yeah, music's out there.
I love J. Ro to death.
But the whole reason he said that was because we were literally on the way over here. We were talking to J. Ro, who's our like producer and like engineer, and he was like, "I can't believe y'all let them play that song without it being completely mixed."
And now,
hey, man,
and
like,
now,
hell,
here on the podcast, they're saying it was mixed fine.
Yeah, I liked it.
Like, I'm just like, look, eat your heart out.
So like, real well, hey, shout out J-Ro,
yeah,
brother.
Shout out, yeah, no,
but
yeah, shout out,
but let's get in before we to finish up music. Talk about just the upcoming album. Just talk about what can people expect. Give us if you have a release date, maybe. I don't know. Just tell people everything that they can expect from the album.
I don't want to give an exact release date, man, because sometimes shit happens.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's not there.
It's coming very soon, like very, very soon. And honestly, like the same way, like if you listen to like the Inja Cold, how it was all really chill, jazzy, you know, depressing type shit. That was all really sad shit. This is like really angry shit, and like that's why it's called Laundry.
Real.
And it's just like the whole like airing got up. A lot of dirty laundry.
Yeah, airing it out.
You know, and obviously with the rock elements now, it sounds angry, and like we want you to like not turn up, I guess, the normal way you would turn up, but like
turn up in your way.
Yeah, like. Like get angry like when you listen to this shit, like feel some type of way, because like this is like really our life, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you're trying to draw an emotion from it,
right? Exactly. Like, and even like when it comes to like live shows, like dude, come out like and don't give a fuck about how you look or what you're doing when you're rocking out to us. Like bang, just enjoy your head and jump around and break shit. Because
when is your next show?
The 16th, March 16th. It's at the District. It's going to be with Lyrical Wolf.
Let me see the date. I'm going to check my calendar to make sure when this comes out. Okay, so yeah, March 16th. Yeah. Okay. This won't be out by March 16th, but I will promote it the fuck out of it.
Oh, dude, thank you, man.
But when is the one after March 16th? Give us one.
Honestly, I'd have to look at my calendar to see when our next show is, man.
Sometime in April,
but maybe, whatever it is, you
That's
let
all
me know.
You gotta say. Sometime in April.
Whenever it is, you let me know, and we will blast post it everywhere.
Hey, man, no, we appreciate that, man, because, like, honestly, like, I even feel this way about it, too. Like, we try really hard to give you, like, the best-sounding record possible, but at the end of the day, I just like I feel in my heart of hearts that we haven't necessarily reached in my mind where I want to be as far as releasing actual music. But our live show is the only reason that you even know who we are. Like, really? Our live show is something different, man. We call it grunge rap for a reason, bro. Like there's like some real bars being spit, but at the same time, like we're
rocking out
up there, dude. Like,
I got a question, and how do you feel about these rappers that are claiming to be rock stars?
Dude, you shouldn't talk about it.
No, I want to know. I want to know. Before you answer that question, just to finish up on the album, is the album inherently have that rap soul to it?
Dude, yeah, yes. It does, man.
100%.
It really does. Like, I mean, there's definitely some songs that lean more towards the rock, and there's some songs that lean more to the rap, because that was our best way that I felt we could create that balance on it, you know? Right. And then you have like the songs that shovel that are like for instance, like a song like Drown, like that single release is way more hip hop.
Yeah.
Shovel's more combined. You got like a song Hello that's way
more rock. It's just it's infusion.
Mm-hmm.
100%. But nah, answer that question. I'm not gonna let you jump over it.
I really just don't fuck with them, dude, because like for me, like I get the whole like rock star mindset. And look, man, I don't play an instrument like straight up, like, but I feel like if you're up on stage with backing tracks and no live instruments at all,
you shouldn't claim
you
that.
You should never, ever, ever, ever say you're a rock star. And if you are someone who isn't a band or a rapper who has live instruments, then you're maybe a rocker. But y'all got to stop using that rock star word like that.
100.
And you know, because I mean, to me, all my rock stars, an exception of like a few, are dead, dude. I mean, because...
How you feel about it, Nick? We haven't had your words much. How do you feel about it?
Oh, man.
And give me your thoughts on the album. Give me your thoughts on the album. How do you feel about it?
I really honestly think this album is great.
Real.
I really think it covers all the genres that he was trying to cover.
100.
But
Back to what you're saying. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you golden, dude. To speak on the rockstar shit, I just feel like if you really are that, you don't need to...
Say it,
yeah. It'll speak for itself.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly, man.
100%.
I mean, like, I don't necessarily win that...
Yeah, I don't know if I have
when that became, like, a cool thing to do,
But yeah, no, I feel what y'all saying. Y'all don't even have to say anymore because I see what y'all.
I'm not trying to be dicks, man.
Nah, but like, I feel it now, because like you actually do
now
it.
Now it's just like it's all about the image, man. It's not about the music. Like if
like I said, it's about showing like
if
that
you look
thing.
Cool. Then yeah. Like then, or if you have a fire video,
yep,
you're golden. You know,
covering golden. A rock song doesn't make you a rock star either. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like you need Preach. To. Why don't you like? Original music and then yeah. We maybe start talking about it.
100%. I feel that. No, 100%. Okay, before we move away from the music and get into the fun part of the stuff,
yeah.
I want to ask Nick a question because I haven't talked to Nick too much. Nick, yeah, I had a rock band in here before called Blonde Roses. They're pretty cool people. Shout out to Anthony Michael. Shout out to Molly. Shout out to Matt. Shout out to all those guys on Blonde Roses. Great people. I love their music. And I asked them this question. I'm going to ask you this question because I come from a rap background. Yeah. I know how rap songs are made. I know what producers do to make beats. Like they go on the computer. I know what they do. I know how it is. But to come up with a rock song, to come up with something off of instrumentation, that blows my mind because I feel like everything's been made. Like how do you come up with new stuff? Is it like you're just playing along? Just speak on that process because it blows my mind to see bands make original music because that's like they know how to play the music, whereas like a rap producer you just go into the beat pad, yeah, you make it sound like what you want. No, but real music, it's like you have to like come up with that, like that shit. So talk a little bit about that before we move on to the fun part of the interview.
Basically Grant, the bass player, and Jeb are like really tight, so like they make up something and then we have a practice.
Okay.
And I'm basically, man, just there to fill it out. Like, wait. It's not, I don't try to put too much effort into it. No offense.
You just play.
No, I know what you mean.
You just play your part.
No, yeah, I'm basically just there to round them out. So it's basically just like, whatever, and that's what I like about Bleach is I have, like, free, pretty much.
Yeah, you do what you want in this
world. Yeah, I have free realm. I don't have somebody looking over me saying, oh, that doesn't sound good, or... oh, that's weird.
Real.
Because he's about that.
100%.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's totally cool. It's just basically, man, just, like, whatever.
Y'all are just jamming out.
Yeah, basically, whatever I'm feeling. Yeah, whatever I'm feeling at the time. And also, a lot of my parts have to do with his flow.
Okay.
So, however he's about to hit a track.
You're trying to match that.
Well, I have to because I could throw him off.
Yeah.
Because the bass and the drums are always going to be doing their thing.
Yeah. But you're...
I can do whatever I'm on guitar. So sometimes he'll be spitting and he's like, dude, like, you throwing me off. So I have to be like, okay, look, let me back down.
And let me just play my part.
So it basically is just based off of Mo. And like he said, like, I come from a little bit more of a hip-hop.
So you understand that.
Than the other two cats. So like... I'm like, okay, look, you need me to just lay low?
I think it works.
Lay low, yeah.
I think it's awesome that now that you explain that, I think it makes so much sense that you two, like, work together, per se. Like, that you try to match your voice to his melodies because y'all are the hip-hop minds, whereas they're the rock minds, so they come together to make that thing.
They lay that rhythm down.
They set the bar.
I think that works well for y'all.
You know.
100%.
Fill in the gaps.
Absolutely.
Last music.
Exactly. Fill in the gaps. It's exactly.
I know I keep saying last music question, but for real, last music question. How important is it to you that your voice is like an instrument? Because not in rap songs, yes, the voice is an instrument, but even more so in you because you're with a band. How do you see your voice as an instrument, and how important is that to you?
I do, man. It's really hard to take it because like, luckily for me, I just have a very loud voice, so. It's easy for me to be heard over loud instruments.
100.
And it just also works to my benefit. Because, like, if I tried to sing something, like, chill, like, you'd be like, man, if you don't shut the fuck up. But, like, when I get up there and scream shit or, like, I'm loud about something and just put, like, a lot of passion, like, I don't even really pay attention to my voice. Like, I just know that, like, what they have behind me, I trust them, man.
100.
Like, you know, like, I just know that it's going to work out. And, like, I don't know anything about key. Like, my voice is pitched right or not. Like,
you just go do your thing.
I just do. Just let it go, man.
100%. Well, that's awesome, man. This is one of our long interviews, but I fucked with this. I'm glad we had this conversation.
Dude,
we needed to have this conversation.
Here, man. Like I said, this is our first interview, so thank you for ever having us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it 100%. Now let's get into the fun stuff. Let's get into the rapid fire questions. We're from Louisiana. What do you guys prefer, crawfish or boudin?
Crawfish.
Ooh, all right. So you said boudin.
Crawfish.
No, you said crawfish. Yeah. Okay, for you, crawfish or gumbo?
Crawfish.
All right, for you, boudin or gumbo?
Boudin, dude.
Real respect. All right, I like those answers.
Guidro's off of Simcoe. I'm telling you. Ooh, right
now. Dorsus.
No, where you get your crawfish from?
I'm telling you,
dude. I'm from Kaplan, man. I'm from.
Well, you got the ponds.
Real? Okay, so you're from Kaplan,
straight out the pond.
Okay, so
no
lie, like Cajun Table has like to me some of the most authentic crawfish right now.
Really?
But all these places need to be paying this, and we talk. No, I'm just playing. No, but like on the real, like I guess like they, like. Everybody has a different way that they boil crawfish, man.
I want to know what's your favorite.
There's like a way they do it in Vermilion Parish that's just like, I don't even know. I didn't hang out there long enough to learn it. That's what I'm going for.
Real.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I know this isn't rapid fire, but you grew up in Kaplan. That's very different than Lafayette.
Until I was 9, man.
How was that? Just...
Oh, man, it's different. Like, I was young, though, so, like, I guess it wasn't as weird as it would be if I would have lived there in my teens.
Yeah.
But, like, I basically got, like, culture shocked the fuck out of when I, like, came to Lafayette. And, like, people could say, well, Lafayette's a small place, but compared to Kaplan,
it's huge.
And I was, like, thrust into, like, a whole different world, man. Like, I went, like you know... My mom married a new man, so like it was like I had brothers all of a sudden. I was like an only child. I had to go to private school after going to public school my whole life. Like all
complete
that shit,
culture shock,
dude. It fucked me up, honestly. Like I think that's like probably like the number one reason where most of my shit stems from, honestly.
100%.
I'm not even fucking with you. Like,
no, that's real, brother.
Especially at that age.
I just wanted to know because I never really. Talk to somebody from Kaplan. Like, I know we're Kaplan. I played basketball at Kaplan.
Dude, there's
Kaplan
a lot of like, talented ass people that comes out of Kaplan, but like that's like the key word, like comes out. Like you don't stay in Kaplan.
Yeah, you gotta
like,
leave.
If you're not like, and look, man, those people, like, no offense, like they have a very simple lifestyle and they're cool and like
that's it's home. It's very like it's very
But like homey. Someone who thinks on like a certain level, there's just no way you could stay there.
100%. I feel that. Let's get back to the rapid fire because we ask this question to everybody. Are you an ass man or are you a tit man?
Ass.
Nick, man, the trend has continued. The trend has continued.
I like them titties too.
No, everybody says it, but at the end of the day, you're a booty man. So, all right, next question is, if you could go anywhere on vacation, where would it be?
Oh,
yo,
damn,
that's gonna fuck
dude.
You up because you'll be like, what the fuck with Detroit?
Real? Why?
Yo, you know why.
No, I know why. That's what's up. Just to like see, what about you?
I would go to probably like Brooklyn or something. Queensbridge.
Real? Like,
I'm trying to see where our shit comes from.
Okay. If you've been paying attention to this interview, these guys are hip hop heads, and the places that they said represent their favorite rappers. This man said Queensbridge, New York, or like just New York City, and this man said Detroit. Like, what the fuck? Like, I thought these niggas were about to say Bora Bora, maybe like, no these niggas trying to see. These niggas trying to go. They're trying to go experience where hip hop. Yo, y'all have hip hop soul to the fucking core. I love it. All right. And last rapid fire question before we just get into your likes. Bleach, this is mainly to you, no offense, Nick.
No,
but like you can answer it as well if you like.
Dude, that's
but
the man.
To finish off, let's say that this Bleach is a movie. And how would you want the script to end? Anything
man.
Can happen. How do you want it to end?
No, yeah, let me hear it.
You're the writer of the script.
Hopefully it's not a bad ending.
No, you pick it.
I mean, like,
what you want?
I don't know, man. Like, you know, I just hope that, honestly, I guess the only thing I can say about this is I'll just say a goal. Like, I guess, like, the only thing, like, I want is for me to be able to, be, like, literally have the means necessary to create, like, just, like, the most badass, like, albums and art ever. Like, videos and everything, I guess. Like, and just be chilling. You know what I'm saying? But also still kind of live that ducked off lifestyle where it's like, yo, we know he's hot, we know he's hard, but like we don't fuck with him.
Fame isn't big for you. It's with the artistry.
Yeah, man. Like, dude, I need, like, obviously money plays a part because, dude, like, trust me, we're learning out firsthand how fucking expensive it is to
fucking
make some
right.
shit. So if I could, like, if I could even just have, like, if somebody just came up to me and was like, yo, like, we ain't gonna pay for nothing else about your life. You're gonna have to get a 9-to-5 or something. But we're gonna give you like all this money specifically to just to make music. The most badass shit you can. Like, I'm cool with that all day. You catch me at McDonald's, son. Like,
that's
like,
what you know. That's like, the love of the music. I was gonna say, I picture you would be perfect with just the Currency lifestyle. Dude, just that, enough money to provide shout out for to your Currency, family. Though,
because he didn't get talked about when we was talking about Southern Cats earlier.
Oh, he's one of the best.
Wow, dude, yeah, that dude is. Like, honestly, it's so funny you said that, because I'm like, whenever I was like younger, I literally was like, dude, I just want to live like Currency. I just really want to drive down the streets of New Orleans hollering at like.
Just he has one of the best. Like, he's rich enough to take care of everybody he loves.
He's rich enough, but he's ducked off.
Yeah, he can live a normal life. I fuck with that, brother.
Nah, man, he's got the real dream, man.
Well, let's get into what you guys like. So, you said, are you a big movie guy? You said you're a big anime guy.
Yeah, man, I like you know, I'm a
big TV guy. Let's wherever you bring this conversation, I can talk. You know,
man, we gonna go. I like movies and all that shit because honestly, like I was saying earlier, I get a lot of inspiration from my shit from that, like, really? Even like the whole Ninja Cole was like a documentary I was watching, yeah. You know, shit. But dude, honestly, like, I guess because the art of it, like anime, just blows my mind on how these people are drawing this shit.
100.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, the shit is crazy.
And for me, someone who's like honestly like a kid at heart and a bunch of things, like I love how something could be so like. You know, it's a cartoon, I guess.
But
like, you
it still
know,
has that
real... But, like, dude, there's some real shit going on in that, to me, man. Like, you know...
To me, I feel like anime as a medium is one of the most serious mediums. Because I feel like you can make an anime be as real as you want it to be. Because that medium is respected. Like, you can have some serious ass shit and just animated. There's nothing wrong with animation.
Anime, where it kind of solidified it for me was, like, you know, I've always been like a horror movie dude. Like, real. I grew up on that shit.
What's some of your favorite animes?
Dude, well, I got a couple, but shit. I, honestly, right now, the only one that I'm really cool with speaking on is because now, look, dude, I love that dark shit. I listen to a lot of that. But right now, the only thing that's got me just like, what the fuck is gonna happen is that new Super. And like, it sucks that we were just talking about the dark shit whenever like Super is definitely now because of the franchise geared more. But if I say that that's not the whole reason I even watch anime, you know, but obviously, look, I'm watching some of that shit on the side. But I guess like my point was like, what solidified anime for me was. I grew up watching some horror shit, a lot of bloody shit. It never really affected me. Dude. But I've seen some anime scenes that just made me be like, yo, I think I'm fucked up for life.
What were some of those scenes?
Fuck, man. That's just... All, I mean, dude, I knew you were going to ask this, and I still am, like, just kind of on the spot. But,
just give me one.
Dude, just because I just rewatched it, like even like the full like Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh my, the dog? Are you talking about?
Yeah,
the,
of course.
Oh my fucking gosh! For those out there who don't know what we're talking about, if you watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, there is a scene where this man where he turns his daughter into a dog. And like, it's, I know it sounds bad, but like the way that he does it, like she like bleeds out and it's like, huh, it's just it's the most sad and just, ugh.
I've been fucking with Helsing too, man.
Ooh,
like,
that.
I really like Helsing.
My DJ Panties, who made the beat for Angel Grove with Jesse Slater, he loves Helsing. Helsing is his shit.
No, man, I just love like the music and soundtrack. Cause like I said, like I'm all about like the way the art looks and like whatever. I also don't like it to be too kiddy, cheesy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Like too I said, weeby. For those who know anime, weeb, bro. Fuck that weeb shit. Shout out to my guy Henry.
Yeah, man. I need to see some shit that's like gonna shake me to my core and have me 100%. Questioning what the fuck's going on with
that. Nah, I always tell my friend, like I said, Henry watches that weeb shit. I'm just playing. That's an inside. Mm. He's gonna understand that when he hears that shit. But I'm just messing with you. But Super, what do you think about what's going on right now? Have you watched the new episode?
Oh, dude, I have, man. I'm up to date. Like I said, that's why I had to give it to him, man, because I'm watching that shit like soap operas, man.
Bro, but, Ultra like, Instinct, what you think?
Dude, I fuck with it. Honestly, like, if I could say one thing, like, I'm cool with the way it's going. I knew Goku one day was going to have that white silver hair. But honestly, what I really wanted to see was I kind of felt like Vegeta had.
Thank
that.
You.
Okay, so listen. So thank I feel you. Like I feel like he had the offensive side of Ultra Instinct with the Ultra Blue.
Thank
and I feel
you.
Like he had the defensive side, and if they would have fused, and then had the perfect.
Yeah, bro, that's me, dude. That's what I wanted. Fucking happened. Like,
I felt like they were foreshadowing it with the Pataras coming back into it.
And they set it up so perfectly.
They did set it up so perfectly. And
because
like,
Jiren had the red offensive, and then Goku has the blue defensive. And the only person from Universe 7 to bring that is Vegeta. And if you've been watching Super from the beginning, Wiz said that if you two fought together, y'all would be unbeatable.
Yeah, so I was a little disappointed. sucks, with that, man. Because honestly, like I said, like even the way that they just made, like, you know, whenever Goku got his ultra form, he had like his normal black hair, but because Vegeta's was offensive, he still had the blue form.
Yes, man.
To me, to just combine, it just made sense, man.
It made sense, bro. And
even
like,
his attacks were like all of a sudden he was just final flashing out the ass.
That's the thing,
ass,
bro. Like Vegeta, like, Vegeta not once, like, yes, Vegeta beat Topo, but not once in this series do we see Vegeta as like just the dominant, just like,
I'll give him that Topo fight, though. Honestly, like when you punch through destruction energy, like Vegeta,
he fucked him up.
Yeah, man.
But I will say one thing that I did like that they did for Vegeta was that they finally acknowledged that Vegeta loves Goku, and it was like, I give you all of this Kakarot, and I believe
it to you.
Yeah, and then when he was talking about the Saiyans, you saw that Vegeta was like, when he was like, every Saiyan has shown you that we can break through. And I wanted him to say, like, I really, no, 100%. I wish the writing would have been solidified for me if Vegeta would have been like, and now you're watching the strongest one of them all. Like, if he would have acknowledged that, that would have been the arc that I wanted Vegeta to have. It just sucks that the writer just sucks, like, just, loves Goku too much, man.
Yeah, and it would have just made more sense, you know, because, like, Jiren's power was so much greater.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not even trying to get on this, man. We were so cool, and now we're talking about this. But,
nah, that needed we needed to talk about this because, like,
yeah, man, I just feel like it would have made even more sense, because if you ever follow Dragon Ball, man, like, the power levels seem out of control, but they actually make sense to an extent.
100%.
And so for me, like, it doesn't make sense that, you know,
it's just Goku. Yeah,
I feel like if they would have fused and, like, it would have worked,
but I think that they did a little, I think when they fused those two girls, it was like, all right, are we just gonna fuse everybody? And I think that's where they made
the
mistake.
They didn't even need to do that.
They didn't. They could have just made the girl into Broly.
But they did need to do it for foreshadowing to eventually. So that's why I like somebody walked into the office and was like,
"Yo,
hold up."
And then the way that they foreshadowed it, Gohan should have fought Topu, and Gohan should have had, like, the Trunks thing happen.
Fuck them for, like, bringing Vegito Blue in and giving him like 15 seconds.
That's what I'm saying. They fucked. Oh my.
Yeah, there was some writing issues, I think.
And I think they had to speed it along because now it's ending after next episode. Like, there's only two episodes left.
Super had so much potential to be the most badass thing ever put into the world, and they just fucked it up.
They just fucked it up.
I tell you what, man, I've been on that Dragon Ball FighterZ game.
Ooh.
Hard, though. Hard.
Ooh. I wish I had my other controller because I'd have whooped your ass.
Oh, dude. You wanna...
I'd have whooped your ass. Next time you come
you
for the album.
You want to get bodied, man.
No. When you come to talk for the album, what system you play on?
One, man.
Bring the controller. I'll whoop your ass.
I'm already here.
Like, nah, I'll whoop your ass.
Let's turn this off.
No, I'll whoop your fucking ass. Like, that's a fact. I'll whoop your ass. Like, anybody who comes for 2K in basketball, I'll whoop their ass. In Dragon Ball Z Fighters, I'll whoop your ass. 100%. Right. Talk about some of your favorite movie directors before we finish up. Some of the things you like about movies.
Tarantino. Okay.
I knew you were going to say that when you see the chapters, when you see everything of that you just do.
The music.
I know.
They got RZA on that.
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for it. What's your favorite one?
Yeah, man. Hateful Eight.
Interesting. Wow, I didn't, that's something I didn't expect. Why Hateful Eight?
Dude, I mean, honestly, Reservoir Dogs was my favorite for a while. And I mean, all his movies are great. All his movies are great, but dude, there was something about Hateful Eight, like,
I was just in one room
and well, it kind of reminded me of, like, And Then There Was None, which I really fucked with that. If you ever went to the high school.
Wasn't that the Agatha Christie book?
Huh? What's up?
Wasn't it the Agatha Christie book? And Then There Were None?
I wouldn't know.
Wasn't it a murder mystery or something?
Yeah, it was a murder mystery. Yeah, Family Guy made a parody on it.
Yeah, no, that's Agatha Christie.
Yeah, so it kind of reminded me of that. And, like, I'm not going to ruin it for nobody, but, like, just Samuel L. Jackson, like, to me, was just the most badass. And then when that part happened in the movie, and just the way. For me, that was like that. Oh, and dude, Jackie Brown, man.
Yo,
so good.
I'm so happy you said these two movies because these are the two that Tarantino.
Yeah, he did, man.
These are the two that.
I know that.
No, 100%. Those are the two movies from Tarantino that nobody says.
Well, that's fucked up because those are just like two of
his best
entertaining movies.
My favorite is I'm Inglourious
Basterds.
I don't
want no excuses, Lewis. Like, come on, man. That's my shit, dude. Like.
But I don't say Pulp Fiction. Mine is Inglourious Basterds.
That's almost like, that's why I almost didn't even want to say Dragon Ball Super when you was at, or Dragon Ball Z when you was talking about anime, because obviously there's like so many anime people out there right now that's like, I'd destroy you with anime knowledge. But you gotta give credit to like
the OG.
What was great. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no one from America can say that they love anime and not say Dragon Ball Z was the first, because when you watch when you first watched Dragon Ball Z, I guarantee nobody knew that was a Japanese show. Everybody thought that was an American cartoon. Yeah, 100%.
I totally see why the movies that are considered his best and the most popular are there. But like when it comes to like just my personal preference,
Jackie Brown,
like,
and
whether
Hateful
it's soundtrack, Eight. Like I said, or just like the way things are presented, the chapters.
Yeah.
Like I really fucked with those movies, man.
Those are fire, man. 100%. Any TV shows that you're watching that doesn't have to be anime, any some of your favorite TV shows?
honestly, after I finished, like, Breaking Bad, I hadn't gotten into much else. Like, I picked up some things here and there. Like, Black Mirror was fucking me up.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? you know, did you watch the new season?
Yeah, I did, man.
What'd you think about it?
I liked it, man, but I don't like how I see the dog thing on one episode, and then, like, the next day on Facebook, I see that that thing's, like, a reality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
bro,
yo,
that Black Mirror shit, bro, that shit fucks
with
me.
My favorite episode out of all that, though, I mean, dude, out of that season, though,
yeah,
specifically, was the one about, like, the parental viewing, because I felt like that just touched on such a real level.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can totally understand how, like, you know, your parents trying to shelter you
yeah.
too much can actually lead to worse.
100%. Man, the way that Black Mirror just touches on things and they make it feel so real.
Yeah.
It's really scary. And yeah. I got onto the bandwagon late. I got onto it real late.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's so much shit now to watch, though, man. It's like, yeah. how do you even fucking, like...
What shocked me was the day Netflix put out that Cloverfield trailer
that
and then the movie.
That shit was the best marketing shit ever. It, and
honestly, dude, that was a moment in history that changed media forever.
It has to be different now.
No.
And I watched that and I fucked with it, by the way. I'm not gonna say that, like, I necessarily thought it was the best movie ever, but props to any artist who it takes them 10 years to finally show their vision.
Yeah, 100%. It wasn't as bad as people said.
No, it wasn't that bad, but, like, just the way the movies were set up, where you almost felt like it was going in, like, an American Horror Story kind of thing, which
yeah.
I fuck with that, by the way. But, like... Like, this whole, I forgot what's the word for it. What's it?
The anthology.
Anthology?
Yeah.
But then to tie it all together.
No, 100%.
I love that storytelling, man.
Cloverfield,
like,
is an anthology series that all just has one little thread that connects
yeah,
it all together.
That's what caused everything, yeah.
100%. But before we finish up, because this has been one of our longest interviews, but I love that we got this content.
Shit, man, sorry.
This needed to. No, bro, don't say sorry. Like, this is the things we touched on today needed to be said, and I'm so happy that you came on. 100%. But just the final touch up on what we said, I definitely think that that's a moment in history that media right now is the wild, wild west. Nobody knows what to do with the internet. Nobody knows, like, if you make content right now and you can connect it to the people and sell it, oh, you're out of here, bro.
Yeah,
like,
man.
TV, cable is dying.
Yeah, man,
the theaters, like, movie theaters are dying. Would hurt,
yeah,
would break my heart.
I literally have anxiety in movie theaters now. I feel like I'm about to get
bro.
Shot up. I hate to say that.
Yo,
but, like, I can't even, like I don't enjoy myself. Like, I don't have
the
same feeling that I did back
as a
day.
Kid.
Like, dude needs to stand up and take a piss with a long jacket on at the front. And I'm like, hold up, baby. Like, we're getting out of here.
That
I
shit
hate
is
say that,
no,
but
it's like, it's a real
really
life
personally
thing.
Affected with that, like, it's one of those things that you, like, it never happens, but, man, like, I was, you know,
it was in
yeah,
our town,
you know, yeah.
100%.
So, that fucked me up, you know.
No, that's real life. But, man, thank you for coming on this podcast, Bleach Man.
Thanks for having us, bro. Thank you for actually, you know, actually diving into actually what we do and kind of seeing and appreciating it, man.
Had to, brother.
That's where we're kind of at.
That's what this podcast stands for. That's what my network stands for. We are for the culture, by the culture, and we are serious about preserving this culture and making it better than when I found it.
Word,
and that's my motto.
You, brother. I hope y'all go places with it, man, because I fucks with it.
100%. Tell the people where they can find you at on social media and the internet.
So basically, it's actually Bleach with three dots because we have to. But Facebook coding doesn't let us do that. So it's actually just Bleach with one period after.
Okay.
That's on Facebook. That's the main thing. I mean, we have an Instagram. It's Bleach _ just Bleach.
Really?
Well, Bleach _ just _ Bleach. But I would definitely, if you're, like, more concerned with, like, music and what's going on,
Facebook.
I would hit that Facebook up. Like I said, it's just Bleach with a period after.
What about Spotify, SoundCloud? Tell
them
where
Spotify,
they can hear the music.
Man, all the links are on there when you make it there.
Okay.
But yeah, we're just Bleach, three dots, you know, on Spotify. We're actually on Tidal.
Real
everything.
Jay-Z's 444 dropped on Tidal.
Yeah, no, we're on every single possible platform there is, except for YouTube right now. Ironically,
real.
Yeah,
YouTube's not paying shit, so fuck them niggas anyway.
Well,
but
they was the only one that made me do it myself. So I was like, yeah, we get to it. But nah, man, we're on, like, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal. You could Shazam it if you hear some shit. But basically, Spotify is probably where it's at. SoundCloud, all that. If you want to hear, like, the what we're really working on now, like the rock rap shit, Spotify, iTunes, titles where it's at. But if you wanted to hear
what we talked about today, the old stuff.
The old stuff is all on SoundCloud out of respect for SoundCloud.
Isn't it Think Radio?
Being the underground rap thing.
It's
TH. So it's Third Con Radio.
Yeah.
It's just straight, no spaces, Third Con Radio. Like I said, I was doing the whole alien thing at the time when I made that. And also because there's a, you know, there's different. It's not just Bleach on there. Yeah. So at the time, I thought that was cool. But like I said, I don't even really mess with Spotify too much these days. But I still
SoundCloud, leave
it.
SoundCloud.
I'm sorry. Yeah, SoundCloud on there just because. But I leave it up there just out of, you know, like that's where I started.
Yeah.
And like you can go check out some hip-hop
right
shit.
SoundCloud's still the shit, bro.
SoundCloud's high right now.
Yeah, if you want some underground shit and like the cool thing about, you know, SoundCloud is you can actually, if you look at like the time when I release shit, you can actually follow like a chronological log of like my
your career. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Nick, tell them other people where they can find you at if you just want them to find you on social media.
Well, yeah. Hey, shout out to his other band too, man, Bokea. I mean, I know this is a Bleach thing, but, you know, he's real talented, man. He's the front man for another thing, which I guess helps so we're not always fighting for limelight because he's got his own front man thing.
100.
But they're
probably
sick,
gonna
man.
Have to get you and your band on the podcast, man. My brother.
They're
sick,
bro. Like, tell us metal. Saying, I don't know.
We'll talk off air. We'll talk off air. But tell us where we can find you at.
It's just Nicholas Christian Harvey, man.
Word. That's tell them where they can find your other music at, bro.
The other music is on Spotify or iTunes or anything. It's just under Vokea.
Word.
Or you can go check out Bleach, which is way better.
Yeah, fucking support it all, my man.
Different genres,
yeah, 100%, bro. But. Thank you guys for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Like 100%. This was an amazing conversation. And what I said about the town hall thing, we will talk off air and I will definitely get you.
Oh, for sure.
About that.
Let's go do what we gotta do.
100. But I go by the name of Berlin the Don on Instagram, Berlin the Don on Twitter. This has been episode 39. We hope you enjoy your weekend. We are the Bros Who Think Podcast. Enjoy yourselves. Peace. Catch the mic and then sink in slow. I know these ain't really gangsters. They just insecure with their life.